Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 11, Perfect Society, Four Social Classes, Text 32. Ritya Svabhava Kritaya Vartamana Svakarma Krit Hetva Svabhava Jam Karma Shanara Nirgunatam Iyat. Ritya, with a profession. Svabhava Kritaya, performed according to one's modes of material nature. Vartamana, existing. Svakarma Krit, executing his own work. Hitva, giving up. Svabhava Jam, born from one's own modes of nature. Karma, activities. Shanai, gradually. Nirgunatam, transcendental position. Iyat, may obtain. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. If one acts according to his profession, if one acts in his profession according to his position in the modes of nature, and gradually gives up these activities, he obtains the nishkama stage. Purport, if one gradually gives up his hereditary customs and duties, tries to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his natural position, he's gradually able to become free from these activities. He attains the state of nishkama, freedom from material desires. Text 33 and 34. My dear King, if an agricultural field is cultivated again and again, the power of its production decreases, and whatever seeds are sown there are lost. Just as drops of ghee on a fire never extinguish the fire, but a flood of ghee will. Similarly, overindulgence in lusty desires mitigates such desires entirely. Purport. One continuously sprinkles drops of ghee on a fire, the fire will not be extinguished. But if one suddenly puts a lump of ghee on the fire may possibly be extinguished entirely. Similarly, those who are too sinful and have thus been born in the lower classes are allowed to enjoy sinful life activities fully, for thus there is a chance that these activities will become distasteful to them and they'll get the opportunity to be purified. The ultimate objective is to bring people to Krishna consciousness. Obviously, but those, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Mam hi partha vyapashitya yepi su papiyonaya striyo vaishas tata shudras tepi yanti paramgatiyam. Those who are of lower birth, shudras, vaishas, women, shudras, vaishas, and vaishas, can Mam hi partha, take shelter in me. Mam hi partha vyapashitya Tripi su papayonaya. Epi su papayonaya. All these classes of papayonaya, those who have taken a sinful birth. Striyo vaishas tata sudras tepi yanta paramgatim. So, I don't think anyone here can claim that if they've taken a pious birth, that their parents performed garbhadham samskara. Probably most of our parents wouldn't be able to pronounce garbhadham samskara. What to speak of performing it. And therefore, at the time of conception, we probably can take for granted, our parents weren't thinking of any conception of God. What they were thinking about is unknown, but whatever they think about, here we are. Now, whatever we are, wherever we are, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, well, before we say that, Kim Brahma Brahmana Punyas, Kim Punar Brahmana Punyas, actually, there must be something else before that. Striyo Vaishas Dasudras Tepiyanti Parangitim. Kimpuna Brahmana Punyas Bhakta Rajashya Siddha Anityama Sukam Lokam Imam Prapye Bhajasvamam. So how much greater than those Papionias are the Brahmanas, the Kshatriyas, Kim Brahma and the Bhaktas. Kim Punya Brahmana Kim Punya Brahmana Punyas Kim Puna Puna. With again. Kim Punar here. Kim Punar Brahmana Punyas Bhakta Rajarshya Sita Anityam Asukam Lokam Imam Prapye Bhajasvamam. But how much greater are the Brahmins, the Bhaktas, and the Kshatriyas who in this temporary world can still come to me? Kim Kim Puna Brahmana Punyas Bhakta Rajashya Anityam, the temporary, Anityam Asukam, an unhappy world. Anityam Asukam Lokam, this world which is temporary and miserable. Bhajasvamam, how by simply worshipping me they can come to me. So the idea is that generally speaking, if we're the closer we come to the mode of goodness, the more we can understand the desirability and the necessity of worshipping Krishna. Because those in the higher modes of nature get actually experience by worshipping Krishna. The experience, as it says in the Bhagavad Gita, when one becomes liberated, then the experience is higher than that of any material experience. There are two qualities of devotional service in the sadhana bhakti stage, and the ultimate level of attainment in the sadhana bhakti stage is that one is free from all material desires. And one gets auspiciousness, subhada. So, subhada means that devotional service gives a higher experience than any material experience. And at the same time, it's open to everyone. It's all auspicious, it's open to everyone. Gives one all good qualities. And as far as the klesha agni, klesha means miseries. The main miseries are avidya. So devotional service gives us real knowledge and therefore frees us from our false ego. And as we get free from our false ego, then there is less and less attachment and aversion. And as we become realized that we're eternal, then we're no longer fearing old age, disease, and death, or even having to take birth again. So these are the main miseries of material existence: ignorance, false ego, attachment, aversion, and fear arising out of the bodily concept of life. So devotional service at the highest stage of sadhana bhakti, that is when one transcends the material energy and comes to the level of Brahman, brings one to that stage. And even if one is not on that stage, devotional service is so powerful that it can gradually bring one to that stage if it's performed with care and attention. Seriously. Therefore, the Brahmins are in a much better position because they've worked on it in the previous lives. Be a Brahmin means that you worked to become a Brahmin. It's not that God, like some people, made them Brahmins, and he didn't like other people, he made them Shudras. We took birth and God said, I don't like your face, I think you should be a Shudra. Oh, you look like a nice guy, I'll make you into a Brahmin. Everything depends upon one's probably previous activities and the present activities. That one could become a Brahmin even in this lifetime if one actually tried for it. Following the process that would make one into a Brahmin. Yata kanchana yati. As Narada Muni said, yata kanchana yati diksha vinahidanitam. That just like bell metal can be turned into the gold by an alchemical process with a mixture of mercury. So similarly, an ordinary person could become a Brahmin by initiation, following the proper process. Initiation means not that sitting in a fire sacrifice, throwing some grains into a fire and I'm initiated, I get my name. That's the external manifestation of a willingness to give up one's false ego. The actual initiation is when we actually identify ourselves as the actual practical servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. That we actually take seriously the name we get, Das. Rather the first one. Oh, Krishna, that's right. I always thought I was Krishna. Good name for me. No, Das. We can't forget the Das at the end. We're servants of the servant of the servant of Krishna. That's called initiation. To understand that and to actually accept it. Not that I'm actually the servant of the servant of Krishna. Oh, that's unfortunate. It's unfortunate that that's, I hope it's not true. But anyhow, that's what they tell me, but I don't really accept it within my heart. But anyhow, as long as everyone else thinks that they're my servant, everything's all right. I can pretend I'm your servant as long as you become my servant. Now, Kshatriyas, they know that if they follow the process of being a Kshatriya, they're dutiful and they do their work for Krishna, then the result is that either they'll become a devotee, like there was one devotee, was one Kshatriya, his name was Prishrada in the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. As I've mentioned the story before, he was engaged in protecting the cows in Treta Yuga. Now at that time, there was no high tech. There was high consciousness, but there was no high technology. People didn't have internet, didn't have electronic, gadgets. If you wanted to protect the cows, you had to stay up at night with a sword in your hand and protect the cows from tigers, because there were tigers and other kinds of animals that might do harm to the cows. So Prishradra was staying up at night protecting the cows. But one new moon night, when there is no moon in the sky, it's completely dark, one tiger came to eat the cows. And the cows started to moo and complain that they knew the tiger was coming. So Prishradra took his sword and swung it to kill the tiger, but because he couldn't see very well, therefore he cut off the head of a cow, and he nipped the tiger in the nose, and the tiger ran off, bleeding. The next morning he discovered that he somehow or another, unfortunately, had killed the cow. And his spiritual master, Vasishtha Muni, came and he said, "What did you do?" He said, "Well, I was trying to protect him, but, I missed the tiger and killed the cow." He said, "You rascal, I curse you. You're going to become a Shudra in your next lifetime." So Prishradra, he knew Vasishtha Muni is not an ordinary spiritual master. He's not like, "I curse you, yeah, big deal. Never works." Maybe my toenail will fall off or something. No, he knew this is a powerful personality. So he went into the forest and executed throughout his whole life austerities, and he fixed his mind upon Krishna. And at the end of the life, he went back to the spiritual world and avoided the curse. On the other hand, we see that even a devotee practicing on the perfectional level, like Chitraketu, when he was cursed by Maya herself, by the material energy herself, to become a demon, he became a demon. Vritrasura in his next lifetime. Material nature doesn't kid around. But he was still, he never lost his devotional consciousness because he was a liberated soul. Therefore, the Kshatriyas, they knew, if we perform our duty and we try, especially those who try to do it in Krishna consciousness, they knew that I'll advance, eventually I'll become a Brahmin and maybe I can come to a higher perfectional stage after that also. Therefore, they didn't try to imitate a Brahmin, they did their duty, whatever it might be. Arjuna was a Kshatriya, he didn't want to fight, he wanted to be a Brahmin. Krishna said, you're a rascal. You don't fight, then you'll get sin for not fighting, not for fighting. Arjuna wanted to avoid all sinful reactions by not fighting. But Krishna said, if you don't fight, then that's what you're going to get is sinful reactions. You get the sinful reactions for not fighting and doing your duty, and you're getting your sinful reactions for maybe performing someone else's duty. But if you fight, then the result is that you'll never, either if you conquer the enemy, you'll go up to the heavenly kingdom, or if you die, you'll go to the heavenly kingdom because you'll become purified by dying on a battlefield. And if you win the kingdom, then you'll enjoy this prosperous kingdom. So you can't lose. But if you don't fight, you can, whatever happens, you lose. If you don't do your duty, then you'll lose. So you should do your duty. And you're obviously a Kshatriya. That's why you have this bow called Gandiva. That's why you're in a chariot. You can't say, I don't know how I got here. You know, it must be a mistake. I think this is my brother's chariot. Maybe I should give it back to him. I'm going to the forest. I'm going to build a treehouse and live there. Now, Arjuna was obviously a Kshatriya. He was trained as a Kshatriya. He was born from Kshatriyas. He couldn't say, well, I'm not a Kshatriya. It was all a mistake. Now, we ourselves don't know who we are, either spiritually or material, for the most part. Still, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, the basic principle is do your duty. So there's two types of swadharmas. Those given by the Vedas according to one's psychophysical nature, and the other is given by the spiritual master, the acharyas in disciplic succession, to engage in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement, spreading Krishna consciousness. So those who have a sufficient medasa, they'll realize, I don't know who I am, I don't know if I'm a Kshatriya, Brahmin, Shudra, Vaishya, I don't know what I am, what this body is. But I, whatever it is, I should engage in some kind of service to Krishna. Someone might be able to figure it out, what I can do to spread the Sankirtan movement. And if I do that in Krishna consciousness, then my life will gradually become successful. Now the laws of material nature, they always work. It's not that when we shave our head, we change our name or change our address, then suddenly we become pure devotees. Now the material nature is an equal opportunity employer. It employs everyone equally with lust, anger, greed, envy, madness, illusion. Maya is always there waiting. Oh, you're interested in me? I'm very happy. Here you go. Therefore, Krishna says, Jayato Vishayam Pumsam Sangaste Shupajayate Sangat Sanjayate Kama Kama krodha bhajayate. If we contemplate the objects of the senses, then we'll develop attachment for them. There's no other, you know, there's no alternative. It's not that, well, I'll contemplate the objects, but I'm a nice person, so there won't be any attachment. No, the material nature works. As soon as we stop remembering Krishna, then naturally we'll look around for something to make us happy. And when we find the object that we think will make us happy, we'll develop attachment for it. And then lust, material nature, will supply lust. And from lust, if we try to gratify lust, greed will come. And after greed, frustration and anger. And then illusion follows. Whatever illusion we were under before, it simply becomes intensified. We gradually lose our memory, and our intelligence is lost, and we become deeply involved in the modes of nature. Especially in Kali Yuga, since there's no Dharma, there's no liberation, there's only desires for accumulating things for sense gratification. Therefore, tatas chanudinam dharma sattvam, let's see, tatas chanudinam dharma sattvam socham daya shama balena kaliya rajan nakshantara balam shriti. Day after day, not months or years, but day after day, Dharma is being lost. And people are losing truthfulness, cleanliness, austerity, mercy. Their bodily strength is diminishing. And their memory is diminishing. Everything, good qualities are being lost in Kali Yuga because people are becoming more and more absorbed in sinful activity. They're not controlling their senses. They're not controlling their mind. They're simply become absorbed in service to their senses and mind. They can't get enough service to the senses and mind. Therefore, they're given credit cards so they can get more and more things to gratify their senses. And even they get sick, then they they get too fat by eating too much. They go to the surgeon, he cuts out the fat, so you can go and get fat again. Often it doesn't work and they die in the process or they get even more sick. But anyhow, people are convinced that there's nothing beyond sense gratification and that's the highest purpose of life. And therefore they're fully engaged in such activities to somehow or another hook or crook, get money and gratify the senses. However small the gratification may be, still try to do something to serve the senses. Now, if one can understand the necessity of regulating the senses, raga, dvesha, vimuktaistu, vishan, indriyasturan, atma, vaishara, vidayatma, prasadam, adigachiti, that by following the regular principles of freedom, everyone can become free from all attachment and aversion and thus obtain the mercy of the Lord. There's a sequence to that, which is maybe the... But a person free from all attachment or aversion, able to control his senses through regular principles of freedom, can obtain the complete mercy of the Lord. So, as I mentioned here, it's for a certain class of people, and it probably applies to a lot of society nowadays, people are given free realm to gratify their senses unlimitedly. With the idea, by such unrestricted sense gratification, perhaps they'll get burnt out. Which is the reason why many people come to the Hare Krishna movement, because they're burnt out. They see some smiling face and they think, wow, I remember that. I think that's when I was 2 years old. They think, well, maybe I should find out. Maybe I can become happy again somehow. And for some time they go through the austerities of Krishna consciousness, become purified by chanting and following the principles. And then they think, well, now I'm prepared to go out and gratify my senses again. I feel pretty good. Back to normal. So that's called the elephant bathing. They bathe in the water. And they come back to the land and they throw all kinds of dust all over their body again. So it's true that if one gets burnt out by excessive sense gratification, then one may stop sense gratification and look for something higher. But then if one forgets the misery that one faced by gratifying the senses, then one may think, unless one actually takes seriously or one has aspirations to come to a higher level of consciousness, not just getting free from, you know, temporarily from material desires, from the being burnt out from material desires, but instead tries to actually get a higher taste in Krishna consciousness, then one can avoid punat punas charavita charavananam, again and again going through the same process, being burnt out and then becoming purified, and then thinking, well, everything's all right now, I can get, you know, go back and endlessly gratify my senses until I get burnt out again and then take shelter of Krishna. That may be, but one runs the risk of, after a while, getting burnt out and just remaining burnt out till one takes his next birth as a dog or a hog somewhere. So by good fortune, then it's possible that after gratifying the senses endlessly to take shelter of Krishna, mamhi partha vipashitya, but one may not get that good fortune of devotee association, the process, the willingness to follow their process, and one may wind up having to go through a very hard lesson for a long time before one comes back to the uniform of life and gets another opportunity to realize that the aim of life is to get free from sense gratification by getting the highest taste of Krishna consciousness. And that which in the beginning may be bitter like poison, and at the end is like nectar, and which awakens one to self-realization, said to be happiness in the mode of goodness. So some tolerance has to be there. We have to tolerate our desires, we have to tolerate the urges of the senses, and try to fix the mind upon Krishna. Tani samani samyamya yukta sitamatpara pashehi yasyendriyani tasya pragya pratishtita. That one who restrains his senses and fixes his consciousness upon me is known as a man of steady intelligence. Not just one who tries to temporarily stop gratifying his senses. That won't work. One has to stop gratifying the senses and at the same time fix the mind upon Krishna. Then he can actually become a man of steady intelligence and make progress towards Krishna consciousness, pure Krishna consciousness. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
So we heard how this person took shelter of devotional service and nullified the effects of the curse. So
he nullified in the sense that he wasn't here to. He didn't get a material body. He went back to the spiritual world.
So, we also know that devotional service changes one's character, changes one's faith. And my question is, but seemingly some character traits or some anarthas, even though we perform devotional service, they seem so deeply ingrained that...
Well, first let's perform devotional service.
So, yeah, is it because we are unattentive or because we just don't want, we hold on to those or what?
Yeah, a whole combination of things, of course. We don't know how deeply attached we are. So we're trying to gradually get free from the lower modes of nature, coming to the higher modes of nature. And when everything becomes clearer, then we can become, remain steady on the platform of liberation. We've been here since for so long, acquiring so many attachments and aversions, we're not even aware of most of them. So we're trying to come to the platform of devotional service. We actually were performing pure devotional service, then we'd be liberated immediately. But it's not so easy to perform pure devotional service because our devotional service is mixed with material desires and mental speculation because we're in ignorance. We're affected by ignorance, we can say. So it may be gradually before we come to the... If we're in ignorance, then we gradually come to more in the mode of passion, from passion to goodness, from goodness, and we can transcend. But the material nature is not so easy. We just chant a few rounds and we're liberated. First of all, if we chant once Hare Krishna with pure devotion, we would be liberated. But it may take lifetimes before we can chant Hare Krishna once with pure devotion. But we try and we make a little progress at a time. And Krishna didami buddhi yogam tam. Krishna helps. As much as we're serious, As much as we try, then Krishna helps us. He's not a dead stone or indifferent. He'll help. But if we say, oh, this is too long, you know, I've been practicing for all the 5 years and I'm not liberated. They promised me, I just chant Hare Krishna, I'd be liberated in 2 weeks. Why is it so long, you know? No, we should look at what we were doing before and what we're doing now. And hopefully there's some difference. Generally, there is some difference. What our life is. Otherwise, if we don't, we'll think it didn't work. Let me go back to my mom and everything, you know. She loves me at least. Krishna seems indifferent, but mom is always there for me. Anything else?
Hello, hi, Hare Krishna. So my question would be about Garbhodara Samskara. What is, like, you know, for devotees who are already performing devotional service, chanting Maha Mantra, which is the strongest, is no different from Krishna. And well, then Garbhodara Samskara is performed only a couple of hours.
Something. First of all, we can't be so sure that we're on such a high level of devotion. We've been performing for so many years, chanting snick, snick, round, round, day, day, day. We're at a high level of snicks and rounds and day, days. We shouldn't be so. But our Garbhodana Samskara is usually 50 rounds, hopefully of offenseless japa. Not, you know, finally. It's all done. Now, this is it. Everything will be determined by our consciousness. If we have the proper consciousness somehow or another, then we'll become more likely to be for the Garbhodana Samskara or chanting 60, 50 rounds or whatever it is. If we're in the proper consciousness, then we might get a better child.
Just because of this act, you can get better child.
If you have the proper, the act, just because you have the Garbhodana Samskara, any Samskara, is to fix the mind upon Vishnu, Krishna consciousness, not just a ritual. Similarly, the chanting, it's not supposed to be a ritual either. It's supposed to fix our mind in pure devotion upon Krishna. Even Hiranyakashipu was singing of Vishnu out of frustration, and he produced Prahlad Maharaj. So our consciousness will determine what the result is. Not only when you're impregnating the wife, but in anything we're doing, it's going to determine the result. Our consciousness, not just the activity. Anything else? Thank you very much. Kranthiraj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.